it out.
I do. So the reason I remember Cut It Out is because my daughter actually rewatched all of the original Full House. Like,
oh, was it a Full House thing?
It was.
Full House was after my.
Yeah, you're right. That would have been like college for you.
Yeah,
which that's not a watching college.
No, no. I was more like a Family Ties, Michael J. Fox. Yeah. In the 80s. I was. Yeah. I'm a baby. I'm an 80s.
Yeah, in 90,
teenager.
In 90, and I think that show, Full House, I think, started around 1989, 1990, and I would have been like 8. So I was like the prime age for watching that show. The whole TGIF thing.
Yeah, see, I didn't know it. I was in college. I was, what I watched a lot in college was, I don't know if you guys remember this, it was called Mystery Science Theater 3000. Is the funniest thing. There's clips of it on the internet. But they would watch. It was these two robots and this guy that would watch like sci-fi, like B sci-fi movies, and just mock them. And it was the funniest thing. Of course, this is pre-internet, so you'd watch them watching the movie making fun. We watched that all the time.
They were ahead of their time.
They were ahead of their time.
Much of like TikTok and Instagram is anymore.
Yeah.
Watching something else and talking about it.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 and the basement of Beta Dorm. We would watch.
I should start a YouTube channel called Mystery Science Theater 4000. Oh, that's awesome. Well, hello there. Welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. My name is Joe Caruso, and boy, are we glad you are here. There's a lot of noise out there. And it's not always clear what to believe or how to live. And so we want to help you sort through all those mixed messages around us and follow the way of Jesus. I think one of the most consistent things in our podcast, Jeff,
is this evil microphone of mine.
No, first is me reading the intro every episode. But then secondly, is you messing around with that microphone.
This will not stay in its place.
You need like one of those baseball weights, you know, that they use in the... on deck circle.
Yeah.
You just put that right on here so it weights it down. And
if you need to watch this on YouTube just to see how annoying this microphone is.
Oh my gosh. This week, our YouTube views are going to pop up just because.
Yeah. If my mouth was where my forehead is, this microphone would be perfectly placed.
So what you're saying is if you were taller.
Yeah, that's right. Or I had a good microphone.
That's about the best for you, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks. That we picked this up at a garage sale and now we use it.
Mine's fine.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm taller.
So. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, my goodness. Well, today comes a question that is actually all about relationships, or actually situationships, which Jeff's having a situation right now.
I have a situation with my microphone.
Oh, my goodness. Ainsley and I watch a channel on YouTube sometimes where there's apparently some character out there that said situation a lot, and every time he uses that word he puts a quick flash of like that guy from whatever show that was on the screen.
Okay, the situation.
Yeah. Okay,
well, all right, come on, Joe, get serious.
Question. Hi, I'm sending this question in on behalf of all teens and adults ages 16 to 29. First of all,
wow.
I love the audacity.
like a billion people.
And if you're 15, you're not asking this yet, and if you're 30, you stopped asking it.
Yeah,
like, no, I but, trust the heart,
but I am the communicator. Yeah. For them. I need to figure out who this is.
Yeah,
they got a lot of influence.
No, I mean, obviously we know what they're saying, but it's just, it could strike me as a little funny. That's, I'm sorry, but not really.
I'm not the least bit sorry.
I told you I was nicer in the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry I have this microphone.
Here's how the question starts. What the heck are we supposed to do about situationships or the rise of casual dating? I can define situationship for you in case you and Jeff have never heard the term. You know, first of all, I would like to think that I'm a little more in tune with culture, but I do appreciate the thoroughness. So,
yeah, you know, I know what a situationship
is.
We're
living out Mystery Science Theater with this question.
We are.
You know,
we are.
But we're not trying to mock. We're just commenting. I promise.
We're mocking a little bit. No, it is a good question. Good.
A situationship is when a man or a woman. You know what, Jeff? We're defining this for the listener.
Okay.
You and I are looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get all you uncool people up to speed.
A situationship is when a man or a woman who like each other, they go on dates, they share physical intimacy, maybe even sex if they aren't followers of Christ, and become emotionally attached by being vulnerable with each other, but one of them will not commit Most of the time, this is not set up in a way that the other person will realize it's a situationship until they're deep within it. And honestly, sometimes it seems like the perpetrator doesn't know that they're going to do this to the other person either. It starts like a normal relationship would, and then person A says they can't commit, they aren't ready or want to take things slow, and person B is left in a space where a relationship has already developed and almost been promised, but now is stuck in a situationship that will probably never become anything more than that. Person A will never put a label on the relationship, either by holding off the title for when they're ready, or will be completely honest and say they don't want a relationship, but continues to act as if they're dating the person they're continuing to string along. Most of the time, person A is not talking to or entertaining other people, but refuses to commit. So as Christ followers, what are we supposed to do when we're in deep with a situationship and hoping for the title to finally put on? Or what are we supposed, or are we supposed to move on when we realize it's not going to happen? I've seen so many men and women get burned by this. It breaks people's hearts and it sets them up to be more closed off to other relationships and even friendships. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. So
it's good.
As much as we loved the intro and had some fun with it, it's such a real life everyday
such a real life
people.
Thing. Yeah. This is what I would say. Don't get in one in the first place. And if you are in one, run away.
End of episode.
So let me just talk about this for a little bit. The idea, so this is, you're going to have to like, trust me on this one. Like I'll answer this question, but you got to like, give me the time to answer it, listen to the whole thing and don't just give it to your kid. Okay. So here principles and all
yeah,
the rest.
Yeah, you're older than 29.
Don't hand it to your teenager. So here's the thing. The way that dating is set up in our culture is it's set up to mimic marriage. Mm. So, and some of this, I'm going to sound like an old guy, and some of it's just the way it is. So like this situationship is like a newer thing. It came into vogue about the same time that things like promposals came into vogue, where I'm mimicking asking you to marry me. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, we didn't do promposals. You would ask a girl to prom, you know, and you'd do it quietly. Maybe you would work the back channel with her friends or whatever to find out if she'd say yes. But the whole idea of like, I make a sign, I buy flowers, I surprise you. It's this like crazy thing. That is the mimicking of an engagement. It's how you would ask someone to engage you. Well, that is symptomatic. There's nothing wrong with promposals. It's symptomatic of where the culture has gone, where dating has moved from investigation to relationship. Sex has moved from the very end of a relationship to the very beginning of a relationship. So, and I appreciate that you said, you know, if you're not a Christian, but I'd say Christian people struggle with this too. Mm-hmm. Sex is almost step two or three in a relationship as opposed to what it should be, which is like step 50. Mm-hmm. Then you get into what does sex mean? So there's full-blown intercourse, there's oral sex, there's manual sex, there's sexting. Mm-hmm. Like the relationships are deeply sexualized oftentimes, kind of on every level. To an older person, I was dealing with a situation here at the church where there was sexting, and the older generation was kind of dealing with it. They were shocked, and I'm like, oh, this happens in junior high. They're like, what? I'm like, oh, this is pretty normal. That it is what Snapchat is for.
Normal in terms of regular, not normal in terms of it should happen.
That's right. Yeah. It's a normal behavior. Mm-hmm. Pornography is a normal behavior. So what has happened is the very end of a relationship where we're sexually active, we're married, it's our wedding night, we're sexually active, has become the very beginning of a relationship. So everything that is supposed, the commitment levels that are supposed to be present at the end of a relationship. So the first time you should be surprised and blown away romantically by popping the question, should be your engagement, not your first date. Mm-hmm. The very last thing that should happen in your relationship is you become sexually active, not the very first thing that happens. Sex is meant to create intimacy and bond between a husband and wife. That shouldn't even be present between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, let alone somebody casually dating. You tracking me?
Absolutely.
So we flipped it all. Mm-hmm. So what happens in situationships is this. I've taken everything that is to be present in marriage. I put it into dating without any of the investigation.
Right.
Then I start to investigate. Mm-hmm. I find out, like, actually, I don't think this person is for me. Mm-hmm. And I break off the relationship, but all of the intimacy and depth has already been put in place. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of breaking up, it's like we're divorcing. Mm-hmm. And we've literally reversed the flow of relationships. Does this make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So when I say, the way that you avoid a situationship is, number one, don't get into one. Mm-hmm. So put the order of the relationship back into what I would call a biblical order. Mm-hmm. Dating is fine, but dating is a way to investigate. Mm-hmm. Like, do I know you? Do I like you? Do we get along? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Make that the first thing that you do, not the last thing that you do. Deepening of emotional intimacy is like phase two. I'll be honest with you parents out there. I never once ever let my kids' girlfriends or boyfriends go on vacation with us. You're not a part of this family. I have this little saying. I call it no ring, no ride. Until you're engaged, you don't get to ride with the family. Mm-hmm. You're not a part of the family. I'm a little stubborn about it. I won't even let the boyfriend or girlfriend in the family photo. Mm. I'm like, I love you. I want to be clear.
You know that, I mean, practically speaking, that makes tons of sense. We have some very otherwise meaningful family photos and there's an ex-girlfriend in them.
There's an ex-girlfriend in them. And it's not because she's a jerk, or,
right.
but as a parent, I'm like, no, you don't get to emotionally bond with my family until there's a beginning of a covenant. Mm-hmm. And dating in high school is not the beginning of that covenant. Mm-hmm. You can come over to the house, but you can't come over every weekend. You're not going on vacation with us. And by the way, my child is not going on vacation with you. That your mom, dad, I think is nuts. Mm-hmm. You're off at a beach and they're on a long walk and they're out the whole night and you're like, you've lost your mind. It's crazy, mm-hmm. that you would do that. And so there's that. I'm going to investigate. Then I'm going to pop a question, and that question is the evidence that emotional bonding has happened. So as I investigate, I begin to bond emotionally. That's dating. When I'm confident in that emotional bond, I ask you to marry me. We get married, and then all the sexual bonding and intimacy happens, and that cements that relationship together. That's what it means to consummate a marriage.
Right.
Is I'm cementing this covenant that I've made, and the sexual activity is a part of that consummation. That is almost 100% reversed right now. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to a Christian teenager or a young adult, I would be like, don't accept that reversal. Mm-hmm. Look and say, I will investigate with you. If we date for, you know, a year, 18 months, I'm emotionally bonding with you. If you're a year or 18 months in to a relationship and you don't know if you want that to be permanent or not, mm-hmm. you should get out of it. Mm-hmm. And if your partner doesn't know, you should get away from them. Mm-hmm. That is plenty of time.
Because not only are you flirting, no pun intended, with all the things we've been talking about. But the more you stick around in those relationships, the more you're afraid to start all over again. And so that's one of the things I've had so many conversations with people, like, but I've been dating this person for 3 years. I'm not sure I want to start over again. The worst motivation in the world to stay with somebody that you don't think you should stay with is being afraid of what else is out there.
If you're in a dating relationship and the person is not, I've had couples come to me and say, would you counsel us? We're dating. And I say, no, I'm not going to pretend that you're married. If you need marriage counseling when you're dating, you need to break up. Mm. Like that, the dating should be the easiest thing in the world. I had a situation recently where a young man, he couldn't make up his mind if he wanted to date and be with a young woman. And she talked to me. I said, you need to dump him. Mm-hmm. He should be killing himself to be with you. Mm-hmm. Not wondering if he wants to hassle with it or not. So I would say to anybody, if you've been in a relationship for 12 to 18 months and there's not certainty about marriage and confidence, break up. If you are living with a person, first of all, that's sinful. Mm-hmm. Secondly, your chances of divorce go up about 80%.
Yeah, they skyrocket.
It's the worst thing in the world for marriage is to live together before you're married. Mm-hmm. So it's a bad decision that way. Thirdly, if you're living with someone and they cannot decide if they want to marry you, why are you pretending that you're married? Mm-hmm. Like, you should break up with that individual. So that's what I mean by, like, if you're in a situationship, do everything that you can not to get into one.
Yep.
And if you're in one, get out of it. And that's the best thing. Now, let me take this a level deeper.
Sorry, his mic just popped up again.
Yeah, let me take this a level deeper for you, okay? I was just talking to a young lady last night. Mm. And she was telling me about how somebody broke up with her and she's devastated and she doesn't know what future. She's in her 20s. She doesn't know what future she has anymore. And what if I never find love again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she said to me, she said, Pastor Jeff, what do you think about my situation? And I said to her, you're not going to like my answer. Do you still want it? And she said, yes, I still want it. I said, okay. I said, number one, you should get over yourself. Like, you've just spent 15 minutes telling me about why your life is such a mess, and it's not. You're 25, right? So number one, let's get a grip. I said, number two, you need to, and this, I get so passionate about this, and let me say this, especially for young women. Huh. Young women, you need to live in the dignity and value that God created you with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watch young women who think that they need men. And I'm not talking about being a man hater, but I'm like, I told this lady, you do not need a man. If you need a man in your life to be happy, you're going to be miserable your whole life because he cannot be God. Mm-hmm. And you are created by God. I told this young lady, I said, you are smart, you are personable, you're fun, you're young, you're attractive. You have everything going for you. And if that does not captivate a young man, that is not something that you throw at a young man. That is something that a young man is captivated by. Mm-hmm. If then it's you who have lowered your value. You put yourself, you know, on sale, so to say. And I'm like, no. You have this enormous value. See that value, live in that value, and do not give yourself to a man who does not see that value in you. Now, men, the same thing is true of you. You are smart, you are gifted, you're godly, you're attractive. Like, God has given you all those things. I'm not talking the manosphere crap. I'm talking about living in the worth and the dignity that God has given you. You don't get to use me. You don't get to despise me. You don't get to take me for granted because God doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. If I'm married, I get to give myself to Heidi that way and vice versa.
Sure.
But when I'm dating, dating should be actually a selfish act. You don't date to fix somebody. You don't date to heal them. You don't date to lead them to Jesus. They need to be pursuing you for who you are and vice versa. And now I'm in it, so I'll just go there. Young ladies, let me say this to you. Nothing bugs me more and hurts me more, I think, than a young woman who will sing along to a song that sexualizes and cheapens women. And I have looked at young women. I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. The language, what are they calling you? What are they talking about? Why are you playing that music? Heidi and I own a business. We play secular music, and we will not allow that to be played in our gym. And I'm like, no, this is degrading. Why am I saying that to you, young lady? Why aren't you looking and saying, you're not going to talk about me that way?
Sure.
Yep. I'm a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. And the same thing will be true of men, but it's directed at women. Mm-hmm. Why would you let a man treat you that way? Why would you? So I told this to this young woman. I said, you need to start living in the value and the worth. You let a guy walk all over you. Mm-hmm. And then you're saying to me, I need to find another man so he can do that again. I'm saying to you, you are a daughter of the Most High King. Live that way. And by the way, that's attractive. Mm-hmm. That's attractive. And some man, in this case with this young woman, I told her last night, I said, some guy's going to see that and going to treat you that way. And then you're going to have a healthy, godly, he's going to treat you so well that he won't sleep with you until you're married. Mm-hmm. He's going to treat you so well that he won't take you for granted. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. It's what you deserve before the Lord.
Yep.
And some guy is going to find that value in you, and he's going to live with you that way. And then, fellas, just flip it. Yep. with women. If you are in a dating relationship and she's a drama queen, run away. It, all that gets worse after marriage. If she's abusive to you or mean to you or degrading to you, why? You're a daughter of the Most High. You're a son of the Most High King. Live as a son of the Most High King. And none of this is arrogance. I don't mean it that way. And none of it's machoism or feminism. It's just living. If I, as a dad, saw a man... If a man came up to my daughter and spoke the lyrics of the biggest hip hop song, he'd have a problem with me right now.
Oh yeah,
and he better hope I beat her brothers to him.
Right.
So, young lady, why would you be singing that song? Mm-hmm. If I saw my boys' wives. If they went off on me and patronized me and treated my sons the way that most sitcoms treat the dad, I think their mother would step in. Mm-hmm. And we have to, like, and I hit the daughter-in-law jackpot, so they're amazing women, but like, it's that kind of dignity that keeps you out of a situationship. Mm-hmm. And it's what leads you out of a situationship. God has something better for you. And so I would say, don't reverse God's order, and then understand your own worth and value, and don't connect your life to someone who doesn't see that worth and value in you, and by the way, who doesn't hold it for themselves.
Yep. Jeff, I couldn't applaud more to the things that you just said. But I want to engage the quote unquote rest of our listeners right now. We teased that this person was saying, hey, those of us that are like teens and young adults, you and I have been pastoring way long enough. This goes all the way up into people in their 70s and 80s, all the way through. If you're single or single again or whatever,
yep,
this advice carries all the way through. And I want to say with, and Jeff, I know you'll echo it, you might need to hear it more. There's something, there's an arrogance that hits later in adulthood that you can do whatever the heck you want in relationships. You can hear probably even the angst and the anger in my voice. It drives, you're treating each other like pieces of meat and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joe, like I worry sometimes more about older adults, and this is why, because we think we know what we're doing. And what I would say is this, when you're attracted or you think you're in love, everybody's 15.
Yep.
I don't care if you're 70, everybody's 15. And you are more likely to compromise your morals, mm-hmm. and you're more likely to discount the importance of them. Because like if you were married for a long time because you were sexually active for so long or because you know what you're doing, and I get when a couple of kids in their 20s come to my office and they're like, I want to get married, they're teachable. When a couple of people in their 60s come to my office and want to get married, they've already made their decisions and they're just letting me know what they are. And I tend to lean in a little bit more and like, listen, kids, listen. So this is something. Living under the authority of God's word and living in the dignity and value of that God created it within us, you're absolutely right, is a timeless thing. Mm-hmm. I want to teach this. I hope I did teach this to my children. Mm-hmm. I want to live this way myself. And I'll say for a fifth time, I don't mean this as arrogance. This is not arrogance. It's looking and saying, I am my father's child, and my value and worth comes from him, and it cannot come from you.
Yeah. It's a really, really big deal. And, you know, it might even be one of the reasons why some parents allow their teen or young adult children to vacation with them, because they also slip into a version of this mindset of puppy love, and they just want to, like, it's like, no, that's not the role. That's not the opportunity. Jeff, I hope some of our listeners listen to this on repeat a few times and let this stuff sink in. I think that's the beauty of this question. This is so many people's reality.
Yeah.
And we have to take it seriously because it creates serious pain, or if done with the Lord, oftentimes very serious blessings. So take it as such. You are a son and daughter of the King. It's awesome. Well, thanks so much for submitting that question. I hope that's helpful for you and even for the rest of our listeners, regardless if you're under or over the age of 29 years old. We are glad that you submitted those. If you have more questions like this, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Go ahead and send them our way. Don't be a stranger. And if you like what you're hearing on the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review. You will help other people find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend as you continue to pursue Jesus and learn what it means to be the son and daughter of the King. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to see God's voice through all of the mixed messages around us.